following program is brought to you by your friends at Podcast One.
Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy. It's completely legal. And it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for. You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y, Chassis Channel. Number 501. It is the best. It is Pluto TV.
It's the weekend. You know what that means. Corolla Classics time. Welcome back to the show. My name's Chris Loxamana, executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show, along with Corolla archivist Superfan Giovanni.
Also executive producer of The Adam Carolla Show.
That's right.
Hey, everybody.
I won't deny that. And now, this is the show where we're going to take the best moments of The Adam Carolla Show, The Adam Carolla Show, The Adam Carolla Podcast, what it was called before, and just remind you guys of how great this show is and always has been. Now, let's get started with some clips. We got one, I don't know, it goes down, Gio, personally, is one of my favorite moments of the show, and it was pretty recent.
Yeah, it's a listener request from Joseph P. He says, "Hey guys, I recently heard you play Adam ripping into Dawson's Four Burritos and Green Machine. I think there's a second part to that somewhere where Adam makes fun of just how little broccoli is in the Green Machine. And if you want to ask a question like Joseph and request a clip, hit us up on our social media, Chris Loxamana on Twitter, me on Twitter, you'll find me, just type GIO for a while, slide into our DMs, we will..." Find your clip and we will play it. This one is Adam Carolla Show 2336, featuring Bassem Youssef, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop. It's from May of 2018. The lackeys and executive producer, Chris Loxamana, break down the ingredients in Naked Juice after Dawson and his burrito fiasco. This is part two, and it goes a little something like this.
This makes me so happy.
All right, our guest is here. Naked Juice. We have, so those guys, Chris and Dylan, followed up on Dawson drinks the naked, has a big glass of Naked Juice in the morning.
The Green Machine, or?
What do they call it?
The Green Machine.
Morning, the Green Machine. Write that down, please. In the morning, like a 16-ouncer in the morning, 16-ouncer at night.
Yes.
My declaration is, if it tastes good, it's not good for you in the liquid form.
Good rule of thumb.
But those guys, and the difference between added sugar and natural sugar, according to our own Vinny Tortorich, is nil. Let's see. All right. So what do we got? We don't need to hear the clip. Dawson told us he drinks a big glass in the morning and a big glass at night. What time at night, Dawson? Is that in place of dinner?
That's with dinner.
With dinner. All right. And that's mainly because you thought it had broccoli in it, right?
Yeah, I thought that when I read broccoli on the ingredients that there was actually some in there.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's got a picture.
It's got a picture of broccoli.
And kiwi, right, and pineapple and apple.
Yeah, but I mean, they make shampoo with beer in it or hemp or whatever. It's always like, it doesn't mean squat in terms of,
it's exactly the same thing.
We should figure out.
Look at the ingredients. Throw the ingredients on the back.
Go with the ingredients on the back. All right. Now, the caloric, you can give me, we'll give the sugar breakdown. Go ahead, Max Zapata.
All right. And we're in a 12-ounce serving of Green Machine Naked Juice, you have 42 grams of sugar.
No sugar added. It says in bold on the front, it's got a bunch of green vegetables and no sugar added, but it's 42 grams and 12 ounces.
That's intense.
All right, now we picked a couple other items. What's a Coke?
All right, so if we went apples to apples, like 12 ounces of Coke is 39 grams. So green juice is 3 grams more.
Mm-hmm. I will read you the ingredients, by the way, as suspected. Remember the broccoli, Dawson? Apple juice, number one, mango puree, pineapple juice, banana puree, kiwi puree, spirulina, natural flavors, broccoli Chlorella. Is way down there.
Number there's 182.
There's no broccoli in this thing. It's just a smoothie. It's a tropical smoothie.
There's about 20 ingredients and broccoli is number 10. Yeah, I agree with you. There's no broccoli in it.
But it's green.
Dawson, we know you're insane.
Absolutely none. No broccoli.
What is
whatsoever.
Your attempt when you drink this? Is it to ingest broccoli or green things that are good for you?
Green things that are good for you.
Then this is a bad drink for that, Dawson. I know you're being sarcastic. This is a horrible example. There are 10 things in front of it, and it's all that. There's almost no broccoli. When you come in number 10, Dawson, when you come in number 10, that means there's not much of you in the drink.
It is in the order, the biggest thing first.
It's apple juice.
I'm aware of that. I'm totally aware of that.
Well, if I know you're sarcastic and you don't plan on changing, but what I'm saying is if you would like to consume broccoli as your mission statement, this is a horrible plan. If you'd like to consume apple juice, mango puree, pineapple juice, and banana puree, and kiwi, then it's a great plan. But if you want broccoli, it's a bad plan.
Copy that.
So put your head of broccoli in the blender and put your cubes of pineapple and get your broccoli. If it's way down, you're not getting any.
There's no doubt that just blending broccoli and juice is much, much better.
This is
much easier, much cleaner, and it guarantees that I do it twice a day. I don't drink soda. I don't.
You're not getting the broccoli that you think you're getting. You're guaranteeing that you do it twice. It's guaranteeing that you do it twice a day because it doesn't taste like broccoli because it doesn't have broccoli or nearly any broccoli. It has apple juice and pineapple juice and banana puree. Yes?
Yes.
Well, so why do you want to guarantee that you're drinking broccoli if this doesn't have any broccoli or almost any broccoli?
My digestive system speaks much differently than what you're saying.
Well, then say There's you love banana puree. There's plenty of broccoli.
Plenty of broccoli in there.
According to who?
According to my digestive tract.
But according to the guys who make it, there's not much broccoli in there, is what I'm saying.
What was it? How many milligrams? It's only milligrams, 102 milligrams of broccoli. No, that's not a lot, but it exists.
It's 0.0002 pounds.
A lot of zeros.
I didn't know what
pounds. 0.002
I'm not making the I'm not saying that broccoli doesn't exist in this drink. I'm saying if you're trying to get the benefits of broccoli in a liquid form, this might not be your weapon of choice because there's very little broccoli in it.
I understand what you're saying.
But
I'm probably going to keep drinking it. It works for me.
No, I know, but it's not your system reacting to the broccoli. There isn't broccoli. There's everything else. Your system's reacting to have either being a good system or apple juice. How much? All right, Max Bad. Now we're on a different level.
If I just drank apple juice instead of this, the results would be wildly different. Wildly.
Well, this is mostly apple juice. So find out, Max Bad, how much more apple juice there is than broccoli and or pineapple juice and banana puree.
A paperclip weighs 1 gram and there's a tenth of it.
It's not full of broccoli, Dawson. That's what I'm telling you.
Okay, I'm with you. It's not full of broccoli.
It's not even
Whatever
half full.
Whatever is in there is working for me.
Okay. All right.
It may not be the broccoli.
It can't be the broccoli because there's no broccoli.
It's not the broccoli.
Okay.
I don't know what it is.
It works for you. Stick with that because it has other vitamins and nutrients. Obviously, it's loaded in sugar, but if the other vitamins and nutrients are doing it for you.
All right. So Coke is what? What's our next item?
Coke was 39 grams.
Coke's 39. And Orange Julius that you get at the mall, the food court, 12 ounces is 22.8 grams of sugar. So that's like a little over half of the Dawson's Green Machine.
Yeah, but how much broccoli is in that Orange Julius?
No broccoli in there.
0.1 gram. I just looked it up.
Yeah, Starbucks Mocha Frappuccino, 12 ounces, is 35.25 grams of sugar. So.
Okay, I'll go back to blending my broccoli.
Blend your broccoli,
and we'll make
Dawson.
Everybody happy.
Make your innards happy. What else?
And then if you wanted to do like desserts, a cup of Ben and Jerry's Cherry Garcia ice cream is equal to Dawson's 12 ounces
but
of
that,
green.
But that wouldn't get the traffic moving down in the bowel.
There's cherries in it. It says
supply.
So.
Yeah. Also, if you just take 5 bags of Pop Rocks from the liquor store, it's actually less than Dawson's green machine.
You should put Pop Rocks in your green machine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It just explodes like
from every orifice.
Like the Hawaiian volcano.
Yep.
All right. One more. What do we got?
All right. If you took 4 bowls of Lucky Charms, it would be less than Dawson's green machine.
That's ridiculous. No way. 4 bowls of Lucky Charms Dawson, you gotta, has less sugar.
This is alarming.
You gotta have some fun with this. Like, tweet your next meal. Lucky Charms and Pop Rocks.
Well, look, Dawson, here's the thing that I learned from Vinny Tortorich. He's been on the show, what, once?
Dozens and dozens.
Have to ask Gio, yeah.
The bananas, the pineapple, the apple juice, the orange juice, the cranberry juice, of course, it's all filled with sugar. It's like tons of sugar. Those who are drinking tons of orange juice and bananas and all that stuff and making smoothies and thinking they're being healthy and not losing the weight, that's why you're not losing the weight.
And he said the most egregious of the fruit are the tropical fruits, your kiwis, your bananas, and your mangoes.
What does he say about pineapples? The 8 to 10 chocolate chip cookies I eat every night?
Do you eat those?
Yeah.
What happened
to
that?
I'm not worried about the sugar.
What happened? Didn't we get into your diet? We got into diet in great detail. How come we didn't get into the chocolate chip cookies?
We didn't talk about dessert.
He blends those.
When I ask you what you eat every day.
Didn't think of it. But yes, I have a bunch of chocolate chip cookies every night. At least 2 or 3 or 4 or 5. 5.
All right. So the banana. Was it mango?
Mango, pineapple, and apple.
Yes.
And kiwi.
Right. It's in order of appearance. So if this was a movie, your character named Broccoli wouldn't have a name. It'd be Guy
uncredited.
At Bar.
Lines. Uncredited right. Broccoli.
Uncredited Guy at Bar. Yeah. All right. EatSleep.com. Chronic sleep deprivation leads to depression, diabetes, obesity, cardiovascular disease. It is no bueno. We need 8 hours, or at least 7.5, so says the sleep doctor. One of the biggest problems? Temperature. My whole life, I've been a hot sleeper. I sweat through my sheets and my mattress. My son's a hot sleeper. It's like a genetic thing. It's a problem, and it needs to be fixed. How many times you woke up and the comforter's all sweated through? So let's take care of it. The Pod by 8 Sleep. It is high-tech bed designed to achieve optimal sleep, developed by sleep researchers after tracking 43 million hours of sleep, combines dynamic temperature regulation, and it tracks your sleeping. So it learns your habits and adjusts the temperature automatically. It's so important to your health, and you can try it for 100 nights for free. If you don't love it, refund for the purchase, and they'll also arrange to pick it up. So if you don't love it, return it after 100 days, and they'll pick it up for free, and you get your money back. For a limited time, get $150 off your purchase. 8sleep.com/Adam, EIGHT, sleep.com/Adam. All right, let's go.
There you go, Joseph. Dawson's Green Machine Diet Part 2 is what we'll call it. But does it end there?
It is Part 2. It is not the end.
Oh, why do you say that, Gio?
Coming up tomorrow on our Sunday show, if you subscribe to Cruella Classics, Apple Podcasts, Podcast One app, however you want to find it, your favorite podcast player, subscribe to Cruella Classics. We have a second episode that comes out on Sundays. We will be playing a clip from Adam Carolla's show 2338, where Vinny Tortorich joins them in studio just 2 days later, and they go over the ingredients once more, and we learn that Dawson has modified his green drink routine. It's quite great.
Yeah. Why subtract anything when you can add a little extra?
Add more broccoli, add more pineapple.
Okay, this next clip that we have, it's from 2014, and it features a guy who's just such a major part of Adam Carolla lore. Ray.
Yep. Adam Carolla Show 1281 featuring Stephen Bishop before he joins him in the studio. It's Ray Oldhoffer, before Matt Atchie joins him as well. It's Allison Rosen and Brian and Ray. And this is from March of 2014. Allison shares a steamed hot dog body odor conversation she witnessed before the mic started rolling. And they get into Ray's body odor and then Ray's childhood with Adam and the various events that unfolded and just why Jim Kroll wasn't that interested in asking any questions.
2014, Ray on the Adam Carolla Show.
Speaking of mustard, can we talk about the thing that I just witnessed before the show started, which is Ray said, Adam, come over here. You've got to smell my BO. Mm-hmm. It smells just like a steamed hot dog.
Yeah.
And you agreed.
Who popped up? Yeah.
It smelled like a steamed hot dog.
See?
I've said it many times. If you ever spend any time in a locker room, you go, you'll walk into the locker room and you'll go, somebody has a pepperoni calzone in here.
And someone has caramelized onions.
And then you turn around and there's some brother standing up on the bench because he doesn't want to get athlete's foot. And he's taking his jock down and you go, oh, I'm smelling sack. Back sack from a running back. Like you're well.
Yeah, it's weird how delicious food and bad body funk are not that different.
I am telling you, you could get the plume of steam that comes off my favorite Carney's hot dog and have it come out of Ray's undershirt, and I would gross out. But if I was at Carney's, it would have a context, and then vice versa. Yeah,
your mouth's watering.
Yeah. Ray and I have always had this agreement, you know, that if something is funky, the other one has to smell it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Take your shoes off.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I remember one time one of my good friends was in the bathroom and he yelled, oh, Allison, I wish you were a guy so I could show you what just came out of me. And I was a little bit sad that I wasn't going to get to see it. He flushed before I had a chance.
There's
my mother found my poop once.
My dad found your poop, Ray.
Who hasn't?
My dad found your poop inside of my bedroom door on the floor.
No, not on the floor. On the newspaper. I laid down a few sheets of newspaper.
He's paper-trained.
Come on. I didn't make it easy to clean up.
My poor dad, he walked into my room, and there's a human who had defecated inside of the room just on the floor. And he just showed
Welcome home.
Just gave me the, what the fuck?
What's the best case scenario in that sense? If you're the dad, you're like, I hope my son did not do that.
Thank God my dad and I never spoke about anything because we would have had a lot of uncomfortable conversations. I don't think, Ray, you would know because you know my dad well. I don't feel like he was Mr. Popularity in high school.
No, I think he was rather
fat kid who played the trumpet.
Yeah, and scared.
Yes, okay. I don't think he had a ton of friends.
Maybe one, maybe a half.
He didn't play. He didn't play sports. He didn't do anything. So when his son started hanging around with people that would take whole sacks of gold medal flour and throw them into a patent fan that was on high, just like an industrial fan inside my room, and just poof, white out inside the roof or just completely urinate all over my mattress. Or defecate on the floor, or try to drag me out of the house naked while we fought in the driveway.
And was actually really wonderful. That was that was one of your stellar moments, I have to say. I mean, you went fucking batshit. He went Hulk. Ace went Hulk that day. We had him outside, too.
When you're naked.
And we were laughing, and you're getting beat up when you're laughing. It's tough.
When you live across the street from the school, and there's 3,500 kids that go to school, and everyone is filing out into the street, and you live across the street, and you're nude, and two of the strongest guys you know are going to drag you out into the street and basically throw you out onto the sidewalk naked in front of your entire school, you get the strength of 10. Absolutely.
I would have loved to like chain him to the gate or something. That was my vision.
Didn't work out. Yeah. Almost everything we did. I remember there was some poor kid. We stripped him down on the baseball field and lit his underpants on fire, I think.
While they were on or off him.
We stripped him down.
Either or.
We're not animals.
Was that kid?
Oh, who wasn't? I mean, Ray, do you remember when you used to lock people in the cage and then Chris would get up on the rocker and whiz on everyone's head.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice, right? Yeah.
It was funny.
By the way, this is why no stories, no matter how sick, twisted, sexually perverted, or physically repulsive sound like anything to me. Like when somebody says, oh, this guy came up behind him and spit on his back or slapped him across the face or grabbed his underpants, gave him a wedgie, or even the teabagging and all the bizarre sexual ritualistic hazing kind of shit sounds like fucking Tuesday to me. It's like nothing.
I remember I peed on McGraw in football. I peed right on him. And he looked at me. All he said, he goes, dude. And he walked away.
You find you effing stupid?
Just walked away.
People don't have a big...
dude.
People don't react the way you think they are going to react to things that seem insane.
Kill you.
I've seen Ray pee on strangers. Strangers. They just they look
but
at
that
him.
Was like 45 years ago.
All right. But remember that chick you just met that night and you farted on her face? And she just looked at him. She goes, I don't even know you. I remember laughing because I thought, like, if you guys got together for a couple of weeks down the road, then he couldn't fart on your face.
That's appropriate.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
Gotta start off on third base.
That's
third
right.
Third base. That was our third base. Mm. Did you get the third?
Sure did.
But as my dad. Anyway, back to poor Jim.
God, what's home?
Jim Carolla, who didn't have any friends, and grew up in South Philly with a you know, belly, a trumpet, and a dream. All this bizarre shit with my stupid buddies coming over and wrecking my room and throwing people around naked and defecating everywhere and pissing on everything. Must have been a lot of confusion from his, you know, black and white 50s Bowery Boys kind of South Philly growing up to this weird, bizarre, sexually macabre era he'd entered into in the early 80s.
And the bizarre part of it, we were all big dudes. There was not one small one out of a bunch, you know. I mean, except for the peripheral players like know, Rotto or whatever.
Yeah.
But
always
for the
good
most
for you
part,
to use everyone's last name. Yeah. Never refer to him by his first name.
Should I say his first name that way? We can close it up.
He doesn't care, but, you know, the story's been told before after buying Ray a double bacon cheese or whatever.
It was either In-N-Out or Fatburger.
It was Fatburger. It was like, it always reminded me of that scene from Slapshot when the Hanson brothers were pounding on the other guy's head and the ref was like, you out. And he like popped his head up as he was like mid punch. He was like, what for? Like incensed.
Yeah.
Poor Alex was driving his four-door VW Rabbit and ready to start pissing on him after the guy bought him lunch.
He made me fucking walk home.
Fucking fine. How do you do?
The nerve.
And when he pulled over and yelled at Ray to get out of his car, Ray's like, what for? I was like, look, Ray, I'm used to opening my bedroom door and seeing where you've defecated, but even I understand what for.
Pick your battles.
If you were just driving along and somebody started urinating on you as you were driving, and then they pulled over and flung the door open and yelled, get out. Would you say, what for? I mean, you might argue your case, but what for? Anyway.
Wasn't Ray, part of it?
Ray was incensed. That's what I love. Ray
don't
was
give an inch.
Ray was indignant that he had to get out of the car.
It wasn't so much that. It was the mile and a half walk. Think about it.
Yeah, you were striking distance of your mom's apartment. Yeah, it's probably about seven blocks. But the point is Ray got out of the car and was like, "Oh, well, okay. Well, now I see your true colors."
You know, it was nothing like
that. So that's how you treat friends.
I was trying. bought me lunch the next day.
Ray, remember when you got thrown out of another car on Ventura Boulevard and then beat us all home in a car?
Yeah,
I was impressed
that was
by
good.
That.
Yeah, I got a hitched ride or something.
Yeah, Ray.
I remember jumping out of my ex-girlfriend's mother's Rolls Royce and then getting picked up within 40 seconds by a dude.
It's a metaphor for your life.
It's not often that you throw a guy out of a car, you know, like 12 miles from where he lives, and then he beats you to the house and you just go on driving. Yeah. That's pretty tough to do.
You didn't make it a detour?
Nope.
Pit stop.
It's like science fiction, actually.
It really is. It's like you built a time machine.
What was that book?
Wrinkle in Time.
Space travel. I don't know. Space travel. Whatever.
All right. Good reference there, Ray. Anyway,
I forget the magic coat, whatever it's called. James and whatever.
The giant Technicolor. Peach,
I don't know what you're talking
Dream
about.
Coat.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know what you're talking about.
All right, we're back. Chris and Gio here. And if Ray ever asks you to play the breathing game, always say yes. Right?
If Ray ever asks you to store something at your house, always say no.
I don't know what you're talking about. All right, this next clip. It's a live show, which is always fantastic because Adam amps it up just a notch more. Just when you thought he was maxed out on the show, he amps it up. And this one's going to be no different. This is from Brea at the Improv 2012 featuring Fitz Dog, Greg Fitzsimmons, Allison Rosen, and Brian Bishop.
Adam Carolla Show 957. It's from November 2012. It's a medley of a great live show. I managed to shave it down to about 22 minutes. Adam answers some audience questions, starting out with one about time travel. Now, when you hear this, the woman's mic or something with the audio recording gets garbled. So when she says time travel, you hear it, but it sounds like something was cut or edited. That's from the source recording, maybe from the club or the original export. So don't worry about that. There are some other edits in here because we condensed and included some other funny bits. It's all around just a hilarious chunk of this live show. Particularly the part where Adam discusses what he would do as the worst time travel tourist in the world.
From 2012, let's travel back in time to Greg Fitzsimmons, live on The Adam Carolla Show.
The great Greg Fitzsimmons, everybody.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Allison Rosen on News and Commentary.
Hello, Brea.
And the bald one, Bald Brian, yeah.
Woo!
It's funny, so every time we do one of these things, I do the who's driving with me, and we try to figure it out, and Allison caught a ride, and Mike August caught a ride, and then Mike said, Fitzdog wants to ride along, too, and I thought, oh, well, normally the talent drives themselves, but come on along, ride along with me. And we jumped into my car, and we got on the freeway, and he handed me a microphone, and he said, you're doing my podcast, bitch. Here we go. And he fired up his stat recorder, and we did Greg's podcast all the way down here, which I'm happy to do. I'd be a hypocrite if I said I wouldn't do it.
It's a waste of conversation when it's not being recorded, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. But you should know, and I'm talking to the paying audience, not the staff now, all my best shit load shot on the way out here on Greg. So if you want to be entertained, you tune into Greg's. All right. Shall we take some questions from the audience? I think Brian has some, and some people had questions out there.
Do we have the mic?
Yeah, we do.
First one's from Christine Fischetti. Fischetti, Italian name. And
Christine, you out there?
There she is, over here.
There's two of you. All right. Christine, what's going on?
So, time travel to any place in time, where would you go and why? And what happened to Mr. Burcham?
Oh, okay. Two things. First off, because my wife listens to the podcast, I would travel home to be with my family.
Oh, my God, it's exciting.
Or ancient Rome to buttfuck as many underage kids as I could. I got a lot of range when it comes to time traveling. You know what I mean?
That's my time?
Plus, I would treat, if I ever traveled back in time, I would treat that, whatever civilization I landed in, like folks treat the bathroom at the airport of the city they're not in. It'd be, fuck this place. I'd be pissing out in the street. I'd be taking my gum wrappers and just flicking it. I wouldn't recycle anything. Even if they know what it was, I'd be the world's worst time traveling tourist. I'd offend the king and everybody else.
The ultimate ugly American before Americans even existed.
Yeah, I'd always bring like a Bic lighter and a Game Boy so I could take over in a pinch. You know what I mean? I feel like that you're just a Bic and a Game Boy away from really taking over wherever you know, depending on how far back you go, What happened to Mr. Burcham? Burcham was a animatic or whatever they call it on Fox. At Fox, they do pilots, but they do like 10-minute pilots that are animated that only cost like $500,000, which sounds like a lot of money to be throwing away to normal working folks like us. But to them, it's better than $2.5 million for a shitty knockoff of Cougar Town, which they do over at NBC or wherever it is. So we made a We could probably watch it. I don't know if that's physically possible. But it's 9 minutes long. And the thing is they give it to you, and they give you a disc with a number on it, and they give you that number on every disc. You've got these things, right? Because the deal is
the screeners?
Yeah, the screeners, because then they'll know it's you if you go out and bootleg these things or whatever. But I just put it up on YouTube, and I was like, fuck it. if it's not, you know, it's no Bob's Burgers, because, I mean, you're never gonna do better than Bob's Burgers. But I busted my ass on this thing, and fuck it. If you want to go to YouTube and watch it, you should watch it. I think it's about 9 minutes long. You want to watch what an unairable pilot on Fox looks like? Because I don't believe anyone, I've never seen anyone else's animatic, or it's actually called a color. At a certain point, they draw it in, and
Negro,
then they color it in.
Negro.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to say it, but...
I mean, politically correct.
And you know what's weird? It has to go to Korea to be colored in. And it's like, oh, I get it, cheap labor. And they go, no, that's where all the computers are. It's not even done anymore by cheap labor, which sort of made me sad.
It's done by expensive computers?
Yes, I wanted to see just one cell with the tear of an 11-year-old on it, you know? Just one. You know what I mean?
Yeah, not a lot.
Not a lot. Just one.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I guess we can watch Mr. Burcham if you'd like. And people at home, you can go to YouTube and watch along as well.
So this guy yelled at my son, and my son started crying. And he was probably like 7. And my kid doesn't cry. This guy really was in his face. And so I went over, and I pushed him, and... And I got in his face, and I told him to pack up his fucking tent and leave.
Wow.
And he did, but then my wife made me go over and tell him that he could stay.
Wow. Yeah. So you intimidated someone else at the campsite?
Yeah, they're all really close together. You know those fucking parking camps?
Yeah.
You drive like 6 hours, and you get there, and you're like, you can smell the guy's fart in the next tent.
Let me ask you guys this, like, what is etiquette? Because I've had that fucking thing happen to me before where I've gone camping and there's that dude that looks like Liz Taylor's construction boyfriend, Larry, what's his name, who like pulls up and he's holding 3 of what was a 6-pack of tall boys by the plastic thing. And as he's sitting down, he says, mind if I pull up a log? And the next thing you know, he's bumming a fucking smoke off you. And you're like talking and you're like, we're camping. I can't tell him to pick it up, or the movie's starting, or we're getting out of here. He's just fucking plopped down on the log and he wants to be bumming marshmallows and cigarettes. Like, what is that thing? Like, what's etiquette? You can't fucking move. You can't do that thing where you go, well, okay, the concert's going to be starting in a couple. You're just there.
You can't go like... You go like, well, I gotta go camp some more.
By the way, I can't camp anymore because every time I camp, it like gets dark at 6:30, and then you go, this is gonna be great. We're gonna eat. We're gonna make some chili. We're gonna make some s'mores, and then it's like 7:10, and you're like, well, I'm gonna turn in 9 hours earlier than I normally would in a place where it's inappropriate to beat off. Did I say that out loud? Fucking go to bed at like 8:15. Got some teenagers. You're like, hey, it's almost 9 o'clock. You animals, keep it down. There's just nothing to do. You miss your TV set.
And it's California, so when you go to sleep at night, it's about 31 degrees. And then as soon as the sun peaks, it heats up to 90, and you're in the Friars Club steam room.
Right. Right.
And you unzip it and you come struggling out for air. It's enjoyable.
Right. And no matter, I never fucking hear anything when I go camping, but whoever else is in my tent does see. Did you hear that? What? What? No. Oh, I heard something. Everything sounds like a bear, by the way.
Yeah.
Nothing sounds like a rich guy who's super generous, who's a couple of hookers. Sounded like a rich guy with a pillowcase filled with money and some prostitutes. And some Jägermeister. No, it's always like a bear. What the fuck, you know what a bear sounds like? Every twig snapping is not a fucking bear.
It can smell my shampoo. Like one time I went camping, it was with my school when I was in seventh grade, and they warned us that any sort of scent will attract bears. The whole time I was afraid that any sort of, like, any like laundry detergent will attract bears.
Oh, no, I do the whole thing. Anyone on their period, you go ahead and pick that tent up and move it out. Clear out.
I actually take used tampons and put them on sticks and put them around my
tent.
Yeah,
that's right.
To ward the spirits away. But seriously, what is the point of camping? To prove that we can survive for a night outdoors with a lot of expensive equipment for...
I really think it's so your kids hate you a little less. Like, they have to go, well, there was that one time we went camping. Because if you never go camping once, your kid's going to hang around as an adult with other people in a fucking office, and they go, we went camping, you went camping, you went, and they go, my dad never took me camping, and then you're
going to
get that.
You're right. It's like going to prom. It's one of those things you do just so that you don't have to say you didn't.
Right. That's what you do. Just go up to Mount Pinos and yell, there! Are you fucking done? Good! Get in the fucking car. Let's go. Now check it off your fucking bucket list.
That's a waste of my time?
Yes. All right. Where were we?
James Holmes, the Aurora shooter.
Huh? Oh,
you know,
that
the guy who shot up the movie theater in Aurora. Oh, right, James Holmes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, boy.
Oh, he got the makeup off.
He has been hospitalized for a half-hearted suicide attempt. Mm. So I assumed it was, you know, one of your standard cries for help, half-hearted suicide attempt. No, he stood on his bed and fell backwards against the wall. Then when that didn't work, he just ran into the wall and just started, like, crashing into the
wall.
Maybe
he was trying to escape like Kool-Aid. I call that a prison break where I'm from, sister. That means more time in the hole.
He was trying to leave an outline of himself.
That's
in the
right.
Wall.
That's right. Hey, Kool-Aid.
And if it worked, the other prisoners would have been like, yeah!
Yeah. But they would have had to run through in the same shape, like that horrible game show where the styrofoam fucking templates come at you and you got to jump through them. Sometimes Japan's not always right, television producers. Sorry.
Am I the only one who found the giant Kool-Aid pitcher strangely menacing? I don't know if in my head I'd somehow mixed it in with Jonestown, but I found it a little creepy.
Oh, no. No, Kool-Aid. It was always funny, those Kool-Aid commercials, because some guy would go like, hey, Kool-Aid. And then all of a sudden the wall would collapse. Oh, yeah. And he'd come busting through there. And I thought, you'd be a total dick. Like, if you were showing me around your house and you're like, we just got done remodeling the kitchen. Those are porcelain tiles. We had to order them special. It's Carrara marble. And I was like, really? Hey, Kool-Aid! Like, he just fucking destroyed the whole place. And then I thought, what if you were in a submarine and you had some dick yell out for Kool-Aid? Or in an airplane, you know what I mean?
They should make it illegal to yell Kool-Aid.
Yeah, you should not be able to yell Kool-Aid in a crowded submarine.
Yeah. So there is
I just want to congratulate Adam.
Mm.
Two bits about Kool-Aid, no mention of black guys.
Oh,
well done.
Wow. Oh.
Round of applause for Adam Grohl on that one.
You know what? We've really come a long way. Wow, I'm fucking off my game. You're right.
Yeah.
I apologize to the audience. Sorry.
There is a toy, a breastfeeding baby doll, which is has a lot of controversy right now.
Uh-huh.
It's called Breast Milk Baby because the doll, the little girl or boy, let's say, mm-hmm. who gets the doll is given a halter top that
uh-huh.
has these pedal sensors where the nipples would be.
Uh-huh.
And when you hold the doll up to the halter top, it begins suckling and making
uh-huh.
noises.
Uh-huh.
So mm-hmm. people, like O'Reilly, it would just look like this.
Shouldn't
just want kids to be kids and we don't need this. A lot of people are against it.
Oh, you said O'Reilly?
That's O'Reilly.
Oh,
said
my
that,
best friend,
yeah.
O'Reilly.
Yeah.
I don't... The whole thing about doll to me is fantasy. Like, it's about kids being kids and fantasies. I don't want to sound like old Whitey here, but, you know, I don't need a G.I. Joe with a functional anus. You know what I mean? I like the kung fu grip, you know? That's me. I give him the fucking grappling hook and the kung fu grip. That's good enough. Because it's a fantasy. That's what kids, you know, like I have the 6-year-old twins and they're into the dinosaurs and I'm not screaming at them, you know, they don't exist. You're not going to be able to play with them when you're older.
I hope you're happy, but there's no such thing. No, they fucking just want to live in this weird little land filled with Legos and dinosaurs and shit like that. Let them be kids. We don't need a kid. Otherwise, there's going to be like deadbeat dad doll and doll who fucks you once and never calls you back. Comes on your tits and never apologizes, doll. Well, I'm just saying, do we need all the fucking realistic things?
Yeah, but wouldn't that be good training? Like mommy's first bad boyfriend?
Yeah, I'm just saying, there's a lot of shit in life. There's drunk drivers. There's people who have AIDS who don't wear condoms. There's terrorists. We don't need a fucking doll that represents all of them. Just make the happy little doll, making about 4.5 different colors. So, you know, the guys who like the Kool-Aid could be, you know, satiated. And let's get on with our fucking lives. We're not going to be playing with these things in our 40s. And by the way, it's not like I walk around and you bring up breastfeeding. And I'm like, huh? What is this? Milk coming from boobies? I don't know about this. I didn't have a doll. So, of course, I get in this argument with my wife all the time when we look at these shitty cartoons like Dora the Explorer and Wawa Wubsy and everything. It's like, it helps them learn language. We're all here. We all know the fucking language. Do we all have to watch shitty cartoons, or do you think we would have just caught on at a certain point? I would have found out that titties shoot milk at a certain point. You know what I'm saying?
Usually you would have known by then, actually.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Shoot milk?
I know that
You got to go on the internet, buddy. They comes out at some velocity, yeah.
Wait, is it that the babies are breastfeeding, or there's actually fake tits that the babies latch on to?
No. When my mom was nursing my sisters, 4 years younger than I am, we have pictures of her nursing my sister, and then I'm sitting there with my little baby doll holding it up to my chest at four. And I think that's pretty common when you're that age and there's a baby in the house that's nursing. You want to mimic the behavior, too.
But so, to be fair, you're a mess, right?
Yeah.
So did it work?
I hold everything up to my breast these days. I'm trying to nurse everything.
A universal remote, and she did it in a car. She got the Thomas guide and pushed it up there. It's like, where's the fucking Bray improv? She's like, hold on.
When I'm on the phone, I hold my phone there, right. And people are like, hello?
I'm just saying that there's a lot of realistic things in life we don't need simulated by dolls. That's all. That's all.
Greg Fitzsimmons, what do you think? You're kind of a perv.
Well, I once did have a... I never fucked a blow-up doll.
But, right.
And again, not to say I won't.
No, but to be clear, he fucked an uninflated blow-up doll. It just was not blown up.
We called her anorexic.
Right, I see.
And so I did receive once. I hosted the Porn Awards 1 year in Las Vegas, which...
You know you haven't arrived as... I mean, arrived as a comedian. Yeah. Sorry.
So they had little the centerpieces, instead of being flowers or little chocolates, they had dildos and fake vaginas.
What? That's not the porn industry I know.
I know, things have really stepped up.
So tasteful and understated.
Well, they had ribbons on them.
Okay.
And so there was a ribbon cutting ceremony before you fucked your fake vagina.
Yeah.
And so me and my buddies each grabbed one.
There should be hymen-busting ceremonies in the porn industry. I mean, again, I'm just spitballing.
You're talking about pay-per-view right there.
Yeah,
I mean, a hymen only comes around once, or in the case of Hasidic Jews, several times.
Right.
To me, it felt wrong to not take it.
Right.
So me and my four buddies are...
The dildo centerpiece?
You got to take the centerpiece. It's rude.
It is rude. It's considered rude.
And we're running around to strip clubs and we're having fun with them. We're pretending they're puppets and it's all a big joke. And then we stay up till 5 in the morning. I call everybody the next day at like noon. Did you fuck it? Yeah, I fuck it. You fuck it? Yeah, I fuck it. You're going to fuck it. Once you have it, you have to fuck it.
Yeah.
If you're alone in a room with a fake vagina, the fake vagina is getting fucked.
Oh, listen. If it's 5 a.m. and you're in Vegas and you just hosted the Porn Awards and you're alone in a room with a donut, you have to fuck it. Forget about the inflatable doll.
You're talking about a tire from your car?
I'm not judging.
Hey, my wife would be... She was very happy to hear I fucked a fake vagina. There's not a lot of context that your wife would go, yes.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the worst part is then you fuck it, and then what do you do with it? You're not going to clean it. You're not going to bring it home. You go through airport security, and it,
right,
it buzzes.
Sure.
And yet, you don't want to throw it in the trash basket because the maid finds it, and you feel like a creep.
Right.
So what did I do? I put it into the pocket of the bathrobe hanging in the closet.
No, it just that. No, that makes perfect sense to me.
It was found at some point. I don't know when, but somebody put the robe on.
When I did Loveline, Ron Jeremy gave me a facsimile of his cock, and it rolled around in the trunk of my car for like 6 months. And then eventually I brought it in the house. I can't throw away that much vulcanized rubber. Like, you could make three truck tires out of the fucking rubber that it took to make Ron Jeremy's cock and balls. And then I was had it in my house. I'm like, I don't know what to do with this thing. And I put it up in my closet or whatever, and my maid moved it. Like, listen.
She probably thinks she discovered something about you.
Yeah, yes. A whole new side, backside of me.
And she probably just moved it. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think she did anything else.
Yeah, there's a little kissing potion on it, but I think that could have been from me.
I feel like a fake vagina is much more disgusting to look at than a dildo.
Yeah, I do too, because of the double standard, because we're uptight. And by the way, in terms of, listen, I'm not Ralph Nader, but when you look at the picture on the box of the inflatable doll, there's a picture of, like, Jenna Jameson on her 17th birthday on that fucking thing. And then whatever comes out of it is a raft with seams in it and a big fucking weird mouth. I mean, there should be a class action lawsuit against it. People, I mean, if that was any other product, if that was a canned
advertising,
if that was a canned ham, they'd be coming right back to the store with it. Yeah. But because it's the shame factor's off the fucking charts, I mean, nobody walks back into the La Sex shop like, I'm outraged. To the guy who's standing on the 3 foot riser, I'm outraged.
When I pictured the wrong.
Oh, listen. All right. This is now. Look, if half this chick came out of the box, it'd be worth the $29. I mean, this is just a picture of a hot college chick in a bikini on the fucking front of this box. There's nothing. There's nothing that rivals this in the before and after. I mean, there's no durable good. There's no. I mean,
I gotta go with the Denny's surf and turf on the menu is not too far off this.
But what I'm saying is if you bought like a stacked washer and dryer, and you fucking opened the box after they dropped it off, and a little miniature Barbie funhouse dryer fell out of the thing made out of plastic that you had to fucking put together, you'd go right back to Sears, right?
Yes.
This chick is nowhere near what's in this box.
But can she, as the box says, lick and suck at the same time and have a 3D formed face?
Well, the night is young.
If she's sucking and fucking at the same time, you're not alone with the doll. And that's really sad.
Wow. And does that technically count as a threesome?
That's a twosome.
Oh, it's a twosome. All right.
Pluto TV, the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 channels and thousands of movies on demand, completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is easy, it's completely legal, and it's the best way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. You never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Not sure what you're waiting for? You can be rolling in a matter of moments. Download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices. Do it today, including your phone and Roku and Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Smart TVs, PlayStations, and anywhere else you stream. And also, don't forget about my channel, Chassis, Chassy, Chassis Channel, number 501. It is the best. It is Pluto TV.
And there we have it, Adam Carolla live with Greg Fitzsimmons. And if you want to see Adam Carolla live, Portland, July 19th and 20th, Helium Comedy Club. Adam will be there doing Adam Carolla's Unprepared and some stand-up. Also, Monterey, August 17th, Golden State Theater. It's going to Napa in September, Miami in, West Palm Beach, Florida, at the Improv. So make sure to check the live podcast at West Palm Beach Improv. All right, we got another clip in, Gio. This next clip is just what happened was you were trying to find a clip from this particular episode. It just turns out the entire episode is legendary that we got to play you a little bit of all of it, right?
I shaved it down to about 70 minutes, and then after that, it just stopped making sense. And if we include the full thing, it would just be like, well, that's just regular best of, so why are you even doing it? So I found a nice compromise. This is a listener request from Christy. She writes, hello, please, please find the clip from early-ish on the show when Dana Gould was in studio and sang Lick It Up as Snagglepuss. My sister and I are big Kiss fans, and I've tried to recreate this magical moment with little success. I would love to be able to play this for them. Woof woof. Cheers, Christy. What's that woof woof about?
Oh, if only you knew, Gio. Woo-hoo.
So in this clip, from Adam Carolla Show 447, Dana Gould, Larry Miller, Gina Grad, and Brian Bishop from November of 2010. Gina Grad is auditioning for the job or just coming in to fill in for Teresa, who's departed, before Allison's actually taken over the role. So you actually hear their early chemistry on air and what they're building off of now with Gina full-time on the show. It's very interesting to hear this 9 years ago, essentially. And this starts out with the invention of one of Adam's most famous products. It's been mentioned before, but I don't think the name has ever been used until this moment. And then we get one of the best of all time hypothetical road trips with Larry Miller. He's just on fire. And then Dana Gould comes in studio, and they're about to do some Huel's Jewels. They play the intro, but they don't actually get to it. They just discuss Hanna-Barbera and some other funny stuff. And we're actually going to continue this episode on tomorrow's episode in the Corolla Classics feed. So subscribe to that again on Apple Podcasts or Podcast One. You'll hear the continuation of this segment with the full Huel's Jewels.
From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Dana Gould. He's going to help us break down some Huel Hauser. Plus, Bald Brian on sound effects. Gina Grad is back for the news. And Larry Miller stops in for the hypothetical road trip game. And now, a man whose wrist is sore from signing books, as opposed to the usual reason it's sore, Adam Carolla.
Yeah. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate. Get it on. Welcome back, Gina Grad.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for bringing that. Thanks for showing up.
Yeah.
And good to see you, Bald Brian.
Boy, this is going to be fun.
Lynette was standing in the kitchen today just laughing at your drops when I was explaining to my dad that my daughter was going as Katy Perry and that my son was going as an angry bird. And just she can't get enough. Lynette cannot get enough of those drops.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, that was my dad's confusion. Imagine my dad. What's Natalia going as this year? She's going as Katy Perry.
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, Dad, it's Katy Perry. Don't know
her.
Now, Dad, she's a pop. She's a singer.
Yeah, hello?
She sings that California Girls with a U song.
Yeah, hello?
What Snoop Dogg is? You don't know who that?
Snoop. That was Popwater.
It's not a dog. But anyway.
Great.
Sonny's going as an angry bird. It's a video game. It's not like a falcon or a bird.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Okay. So just 0-2 with Pops. And Lynette was laughing hard. And the thing that was funny about it is I, at the time, was complaining about it and didn't even know that Brian was playing those. Maybe it's because I'm used to hearing my dad or something. I didn't even know he was dropping them in.
I like to think that they're so part of your inner monologue that you just hear them in your own head. So the actual drops blend right in.
Speaking of inner monologue, let me tell you guys. I had some guys. I invented something called Mangria the other day.
Great.
I've taken to this thing that I'm not proud of, but I'm willing to talk about it in front of you guys as long as you don't tell anybody else. At a certain point, if I run out of red wine and it's just the evening, and let's say I've had a glass of red wine and then I pour the bottle and there's just, you know, an inch of splash or half a glass, and I realize I got about 3 hours of SportsCenter to get through here and this ain't going to do it. Instead of drinking the red wine and then switching over. I don't know why Donnie just shut the lights in here. But instead of drinking the red wine and then switching over to vodka or something, I'll just actually top off the same glass.
You make a cocktail.
I call it Mangria.
Oh, okay.
It's sad, But I got to tell you, last night I was sitting in the kitchen. I realized, you know what? This red wine's not cutting. And we had two of our sponsors. We had Sledgehammer, who makes our great wine. And then we had, of course, Jeremiah Weed. And I was looking at the Jeremiah Weed Sour Mash, which I happen to love the sour cherry mash. 90 proof, though, so you got to be careful a little bit. And I was just looking at it, and I was looking at my half a glass of wine, and I went, F it. I'm making a whole new mangria. And I dumped the Jeremiah Weed in there. Delightful.
Do you throw a couple of fruit slices in there to make it classy?
That would be gay-y and not class-y. But I would if I had the time. But really, my whole thing is, I'm looking to catch a buzz.
Sure.
You know?
Dr. Drew in the hizzy.
I'm like one of those guys from high school that would bang anyone who, you know, basically could stand upright.
Up on twos.
Yeah. I know this doesn't sound like a great spot for Jeremiah Weed, but what I'm saying is I'm looking to get my buzz on.
Right.
Yeah, I ain't looking to, you know, reinvent the wheel. And so I dumped a little of the Jeremiah Weed in there, went back in, and just sipped it now and enjoyed the bejesus out of that. Good stuff. Jeremiah Weed. I suggest you guys try it out. And again, they have the sweet tea, or the I should say the tea that's
vodka?
Like vodka infused tea. Yeah, it's got a little punch to it. That's nice. That's what the missus enjoys.
But the sad part is there are people who will pour finer spirits over water to open up the flavor and open up the bouquets.
Right.
You merely bastardize them with vodka.
Yeah.
And wine.
Well, I'm trying to go. But I said the night before it was all just Jeremiah Weed and the cherry mash, just on the rocks,
now,
straight
up,
90 proof.
Oh
yeah. But the thing that is, you put it on the rocks, and it's delightful.
Oh,
yeah, I'm telling you, I'm a whole new man.
Do you get to the point where you cut you off? Like you said that before.
Yeah, I can tell when I cut me off when I come down to the refrigerator the following day and I see the glass sitting in the refrigerator with the melted ice and just a little of the weed at the bottom.
Right.
That meant at a certain point I went, you know what? That's enough, Ace Man. Take it easy. They're a fine sponsor, but Jesus Christ, let's not die on the sofa here.
But you're also your own enabler. You know what I mean? You're also like, hey, you sure you've had enough of there, buddy? Like,
you've earned it.
Yeah, I called myself a pussy 28 times before I went to bed. I love the idea that there's a Dollywood. And I just love the idea. I'd like to meet a human being that went to. I want to find the guy who's been to Branson, Missouri, and seen like the Oak Ridge Boys, or been to Dollywood. I've yet to meet that piece of white trash.
There we go.
Uh-oh. Which one? Both?
I'm planning on going to Dollywood.
That's worse than going there. That's premeditated.
I aspire someday.
That's murder one. That's white trash murder one.
Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And I've been to
Branson.
We
had a quilt made of multiple colors. What the fuck?
Coat of many colors.
All right. Yeah. You're planning on going to Dollywood.
Yeah, I grew up in Kansas. I've been to Branson. We call it Steal Your Dollar City, Silver Dollar City.
Right.
Seen the Oak Ridge Boys.
Ooh.
More than once. What's that?
Elvira. That's the worst fucking song ever laid down on vinyl. Elvira. How did that song make it to number one? Do you realize Elvira was number one? Hey, hearts on fire, Elvira. Like, if you heard Oompa Oompa, if you heard that fucking song now, you'd just be like, what is this? Some kind of karaoke? Nope, number one. How high were we? Listen. Okay.
Hey, Gina, you're about my age. Did you have ballroom dancing in junior high?
Yes, of course.
This is the song we learned how to do one of the ballroom dances to.
All right, you know what the song should be called? All right, I'm going to sing it. Payola. Obviously, whores and coke were dropped off at program director's office. I got to get Silver on the blower and see it. There's no way. No way this is a number one song. Oh,
it's
man.
A hit.
This is such a finger popping time, baby. Toe tapper.
God, popping time.
Song blows walrus ass. I mean, when somebody told the Oak Ridge Boys, hey, Elvira, number one, they must have went, are you fucking nuts? We were fucking around. We didn't even know you were recording that. That was a B-side to a song that we didn't think would make the top 1,000. We were so high.
Silver
Oh, my God. Sounds so bad.
They didn't even try.
Da, da, da. It sounds like a weird... You know what it sounds like when white guys rap? My name is Jim McMahon, and I'm here to say that the Bears are going all the way. Like, yeah, she got lips like cherry wine.
What? Cherry mash.
Yeah. And it's got a bad syntho disco-y riff to it that makes it blow even more. Oh, who's in their car and goes, hey, you know what I need to hear? I need me some Elvira. Let's go. Come on.
My grandpa.
Oh, no, no, no.
Did the Oak Ridge Boys have another song?
Oh, I'm sure they have. I'm guarantee they have Oak Ridge Boys Greatest Hits Volume 8 out somewhere if you need it. But no, it's all Elvira. All right, this is enough. I'm going to throw up in my own mouth. John Heights never cracked the top 20. Not a once.
Maybe Jesus wrote an Elvira.
Oh, what year was that? Did that get to number one? I swear to God that song got to number one.
Anybody?
It's at least top five. So fucking bad.
Going to be stuck in my head all week now.
Oh, so not only do you love the Oak Ridge Boys, but you love Dolly Parton?
Well, I'm a huge Dolly Parton fan.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you both share a huge
there
rack.
There we go. There
is that
go.
What it is?
These are my weapons of mass destruction, yeah. Or whatever she calls it. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, a list of Hollywood's highest earning women was released. And mm-hmm. This week?
Elvira.
Elvira.
Mistress of the Night.
Number one. Oprah Winfrey topped the list.
Hold on.
Nope.
Whew, I had to sit down. Really? That bitch made a nickel this year?
In other news, the sky is
blue. You normally
don't
hear about that.
Yeah. $315 million.
You know what else is crazy and just wacky Oprah news? You know her magazine?
Oh.
She made the cover again. She's on the cover again. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Don't usually she doesn't pop up on the cover too often of her own magazine, but geez, she's on a roll. How much did she make?
$315 million.
Now imagine... If we weren't living in a society that was so blatantly sexist and racist, how much she would pull down?
You think?
Oh.
As a black woman, well, she's pretty tough.
Hasn't she well,
we all know.
Barriers
look,
to the top.
Do not kid yourself, like Kanye once said. We're living in don't kid yourself. It's a really racist society, and it's really sexist. Brian, who do you hate more, chicks or black people?
Oh, you know,
tough.
This is one of Larry Miller's hypothetical questions.
Yeah, it's
how
like,
you could
I
possibly
don't know.
Get a wrong
who would you like
here?
To hold down more?
Oh, it depends on what day
financially.
It is. Ooh. Women.
Women.
No, blacks. Ah, oh,
see,
this is a hard
see,
game.
It's tough. It's tough. Yeah. It's like they're both your kids who you can't stand and want to burn with a cigarette. So, I don't know either, but you know what? Hey, Brian.
Yeah?
What'd you bring in last year?
Just south of $315
million. Wow. All right. Yeah. Just came up a little short.
Yeah. Oprah beat me out again.
The point is next time we're at one of our white guy meetings,
sure.
Let's really get it together because, you know, we keep the people of color down and we keep the chicks down. And this really flies in the face of all that is sacred with us.
She's really mocking you, dude.
I know.
Specifically.
Yes. She's black and a woman is enabled. And again, just imagine how much she'd be making if she wasn't one of those things.
Well, it's not going to get any better because coming in at number two, Beyonce. 87 million.
Brian, what did I tell you about the meetings?
This is a dark day. No pun intended.
Yeah. Should we bring Larry Miller in? Yeah, I think we should. Larry's going to come in here for a little hypothetical question. Again, impossible to get anything wrong. It's impossible to get a question wrong here, Larry.
By the way, I just have to say that adding extra security to Bill Clinton at this point feels like the last 3 years of Chubby Checker concerts where he'd leave the stage
right.
with armed cops around him, but sure. No one was following.
Right.
And they're still blasting, let's twist again, da-da-da-da-da-da.
Well, the thing you gotta love about, like, Chubby Checker is, like, Chubby does the twist, and then he does, like, the Christmas twist, and then it's like, let's twist for Hanukkah, and let's twist for Groundhog's Day, and it's a twist in front of the Vietnam Memorial. Like, somebody figured, like, look, Chubby, here's how you're gonna make your nut. Put the word twist in front of whatever the fuck you do, and we'll get something out of it.
That one's a somber twist.
And then he was trying other things. He tried the twirl dance, but nothing at all.
Nothing.
It's like these groups like Redbone, I remember. There was a group that had that song, Come and Get Your Love. Butter. And they just repeat that chorus. And by the way, it's a very pretty song, but you can tell. Exactly. And they went on every show, Come and Get Your Love.
Right.
And you feel bad for them. You really do. Because you could see in their eyes, we don't know what we did. And we don't know how to do this again.
Someone else probably wrote the song, and they're lip syncing. I mean, back in the day, they wouldn't even bother plugging the guitar in. It was just like Paul Revere and the Raiders. Kicks just keep getting harder to find. And they would just be standing
the
there in the Minuteman outfit.
With the band around the neck. It was a keyboard hung around the neck. It's just stupid. That's the one. It's a fantastic song. But you can see
them. What's the matter with the boobies? Darling's boobies. Gay.
I don't know how to write another song. Everyone will sing this forever. And that you feel bad.
Maybe we get chubby to cover this one. Or put twist in front of
everything. Hey, it's Flag Day Twist. Come on, everyone. And you know what? And speaking of which, I thought this too, that we would never have to waterboard anyone again if we kept playing Elvira. If you did that.
That's true.
If you did that, by the way, you play it twice in a row, the Oak Ridge Boys themselves will confess.
Yeah.
Even they will have to. I can't take it once. We can sing it once.
The threat of me hearing Elvira twice would get me to spill whatever national secrets I was harboring.
I was just out there with Dana Gould, and the second time Brian played the chorus, I actually turned to him and said, "It was me on the grassy knoll. I just can't
just
take it anymore.
Everything.
I have to.
All right. Shall we play a little hypothetical question?
You know, first of all, absolutely. Second of all, that got me up. The Elvira, the thoughts
You're
about Chubby
up.
Checker got
fired
me up. I'm in the groove, Jackson. Watch what happens.
Focus.
Watch.
Focus.
It's the hypothetical road trip game. The game where there are no wrong answers.
We're driving to Florida.
All right, you ready? Again, no wrong answers here.
Well, that's why I like the game, but I'm ready. Just watch.
This is a crazy coinky-dink because I didn't even look down at this page. It is white guy who wears the African dashiki. White guy who dons the dashiki, or David Hasselhoff. Just yelling about the man.
By the way, I would always, this one's easy. It's good sometimes to start on an easy one. Mm-hmm. Who would I like to drive cross country with? Easily. Always going to be David Hasselhoff over the white guy who wears the dashiki, and I'll tell you why.
Mm.
Because David Hasselhoff, number one, I can drink with.
Sure.
Number
yeah.
two, we can get one motel room together and both just fall down on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Number three,
eat
his kids can pick us both up when they come for him.
Sure.
This, to me, is a good cross-country partner.
Yeah.
Never, ever the white guy with the dashiki, because just seeing him get in the car, I'd have to say, I can't mm-hmm. do it. So, what?
Sorry, Larry. No, because...
No, you're wrong that time. I'm right.
Let me tell you why. He would get drunk, and he would be standing out front of your, you know, Avis Chevy Cobalt 2010 going, Kit, open the driver's side door. Kit, are you listening? Start yourself. And then at a certain point, you'd be coming up on a wreck. He'd be driving, and he'd yell, hit turbo boost, and then nothing would happen. He'd think he's living an alternate universe. So you'd get killed on the way there. He'd hit the turbo boost. You'd all be destroyed.
All right, but by the way,
for one, but
at least with him, at least you'll have to agree, and I think Brian will have to agree, at least with him, I would like to drive from Frankfurt to Hamburg. At least you'll agree on that.
No, that's
come on!
Sorry, that's wrong. I'm sorry, that's incorrect. All right,
again, let's forget that one then.
Let's wipe the slate clean, except for the big goose egg that's on it. Drunk, bitter bridesmaid or drunk, stupid best man?
Oh.
Wow.
Very tough.
A coin toss.
On the surface, very tough.
Mm-hmm.
But for someone who plays the game, if I may say the way I do, who knows the nuances of the game, it's actually very easy. Because if you notice, you didn't say drunk, overweight, bitter bridesmaid.
Uh-huh.
And that's the key to the whole thing. I will always take a drunk, bitter bridesmaid because I can give her hope and I can tell her there is something for everyone out there. I will never, ever drive with someone who is both drunk and stupid.
Mm.
Come on!
on!
Sorry.
Come on!
I'm just sorry. And then, by the way, that's wrong. I just don't have to explain why. Gina, you want to try a quick one?
Just yeah, to see. She can't just jump in on this. Well, this is a game that laughing, takes experience and knowledge.
I'll just toss out. Just toss out a quick one.
I don't think that's fair to her.
Recumbent bike guy or wedding rabbi who thinks he's a comedian?
Oh, recumbent bike guy.
Absolutely.
Come on!
See, Larry, it's not that hard. Gina barely knows the game. She nailed it.
Well, that's, you know what? That's beginner's luck then.
All right. You want to try one more, Gina?
I guess.
Oh, and look, don't embarrass her because she just got lucky on that one. And again, you have to have the experience this kind of game takes.
Born again gangbanger or denim jacket covered in Disney buttons guy?
Born again gangbanger.
Absolutely.
Come on!
Nice
work.
Nice All right, here we go. Last one, Larry.
Okay. All right. Fun is fun, but right, let's put all that aside. Watch and learn
watch
something.
And learn,
okay,
sweetie.
Watch and learn.
All right. Weird guy outside of Trader Joe's who wants to give you a free chiropractic exam or burnt out guy from the 80s hair band?
Always.
He wasn't in a band. He just loves it.
Always drive cross country with the burnt out 80s guy. Never mind. With the band, never mind what he was in. Always with the burnt out 80s guy, because you never, ever trust someone you meet in front of a store. That's the key there. Even if he's good chiropractor, never trust anyone in front of a store. Always drive with someone from the 80s.
Sorry, because this guy's
come on.
He's going to bring his own mix cassette with Winger and Poison.
Well, that is bad.
Yeah, and
dude, you're supposed to give reasons not to drive with him.
You're going
to
be hearing Cherry Pie all the way across country, and I'm sorry. Like, Larry, again,
well,
a lot of,
you know what? I've learned something, though, and I enjoy the game.
You played it? I really...
What? I don't enjoy the game?
A lot of guts showing your face. Hold on, let's keep trying this. What is your oldest son's name?
I don't normally like to say on the air.
All right, what is your wife's name?
I don't normally... not.
What kind of car do you drive?
Lincoln.
Sorry.
That's it's incorrect. Out there.
That's incorrect.
It's right out
I'm
there.
Sorry, Larry. It is incorrect.
Good Lord, if I go out there and it's not a Lincoln, that would be so weird.
I'll give one last try. What is your zodiac sign?
Libra.
Sorry,
but
Larry.
It's October 15th.
We got to bring Larry.
I swear.
I'm sorry. Dana Gould is waiting
outside. I got my driver's license out. I can show
Larry
you.
Larry Miller, everybody.
Oh, no.
Of
guts. All
show
right.
His face around here. Thank you very much.
Gee, all right, well,
appreciate
bye.
It. Again, thank you, Larry. Larry Miller, humor, by the way, is also, you can see our fantastic video that Larry has up on Funny or Die as we speak. And Larry, other than going to the website, LarryMillerHumor.com. Did I get that right? By
that's
the way,
exactly
that.
Right.
Larry Miller Humor. You can find out all the dates, what Larry's doing, what he's up to, and all that good stuff.
Exactly. But what? No, there are no dates? What? There's no good stuff?
Sorry, there's no good stuff.
Come
Larry.
On! All right.
Thank you, Larry. Goodbye. A lot of guts. A lot of guts.
Sorry, Larry. Better luck next time you play the hypothetical road trip game.
Ah, yes. And now the great Dana Gould has showed up here.
I ripped my jeans.
What's going on? Dana's micing himself up and sitting himself down.
I'm covering the rip in my jeans.
What is going on, Dana? How are you doing, buddy?
I'm just catching up.
Do you want to do a little Huell Hauser?
We can do Huell, but I had to talk about my song, the song that I will tear my own eyes out and use them to plug up my ears.
Really? Worse than Elvira?
Yeah, The Night Chicago Died.
Paper Lace?
Paper Lace,
how
1973.
Dare you? That's a classic.
Brother, what a night it really was. Glory be. But it didn't die. I was just there.
They're singing about Al Capone. But here's the thing about this song. Once it's like a movie. Once it crosses over into so incredibly bad or campy or whatever,
it's like Plan 9. It's its own best friend.
Once you take the guy in the ape suit and put the TV on his head, it's we've crossed over.
Yeah. We passed the bad Rubicon.
Daddy was a cop. It was like Al Capone days.
But if you want to do a song about the Al Capone
in the land
days,
of the dollar bill, that's heavy, man.
If you want to do a song about Al Capone, maybe you could cast the musicians in instruments of the era.
Oh,
instead of making it's like a Bay City Rollers B-side.
It really is.
I really want to put on my tartan bib overalls. and roller boogie down to the radio station.
Believe you me, when I was in junior high, there was a gal, I think her name was Joan, there was always the behemoth. You know, it's sad. Yes. That, you know, they always talk about the gal that, well, she had bad skin or she was overweight or she was anything. But the one they forget about is the gargantuan gal. Like the gal that somehow gets hit with the human growth hormone and too early or often or whatever.
She's a great big
Joan went 6'2", 210 pounds, and wasn't fat. Just bright red hair, white as a ghost, big as a...
And
just
doesn't have breasts. She has dugs. Like chimpanzee
just
dugs.
Just massive.
Turning myself
and
on.
She loved herself some Bay City Rollers.
Oh,
and she had the tartan bib overall things and the thing. And
but you know,
she was. And by the way, she was the size of 3 Bay City Rollers put together. They weren't big guys. Yeah. Poor Joan.
The sheer.
And by the way, drawing attention to yourself, it's sort of like a guy who's robbing. It's like when a guy's robbing a bank and then screaming, "Everyone, look at me!" What I mean? Like there's already a crime going on here, and now we're all focused on.
What's
you.
Amazing is that they don't have afros, yet their hair is bigger than afros.
Yeah,
it's almost like a. Optical illusion. It's like
they had more mass. If they did a water displacement test, with their hair versus like J.J. Walker or
Angela Davis,
they would displace more water minus the fro. Very interesting.
Hot boys heat.
Yeah, they have more hair than Bert Convy, yet not a curl. Between the five of them.
But, when I see you talk about, the gargantua, that's always whenever I go to Comic-Con or something and you see, a morbidly obese C-3PO hand-in-hand with a morbidly obese Jawa.
Sure.
I smile inside because they found, as my wife
they
says,
found each other.
Lid for every pot. Lid for every pot.
Yeah.
God bless them.
Yeah.
That does make me happy when I see
it. Yeah. Someone should have put a lid on the Denty Moore stew before they got a second helping. That's the lid that should have went. Should have duct taped the lid down to that pot when they were kids.
Denty Moore. But the hungry man.
How do you handle a hungry man? The man handler. There was something called the man handler.
Yeah, the man
handler.
That was Frankie Lane, by the way.
He sung that?
That was him. How do you handle a hungry man?
The manhandler. Very homoerotic for back in the day.
Yes, it was. It's manhandler jackoff lube, which is, we make jackoff lube and chili, same one label.
The manhandler, I think, was for chili or Sloppy Joe's.
It was Sloppy Joe's.
Oh, what the fuck happened to Sloppy Joe's? We're going to deprive our, our kids are going to grow up in a society that has the peanut butter and jelly outlawed at schools.
Right.
And no Sloppy Joe waiting for them when they get home.
No Manwich.
No Manwich,
Well, again, the Manwich is a club where they play the hungry manhandler theme on a loop.
Bunch of guys just sitting in a sauna with a towel loosely around them.
Friendly fire like the opening of Private Ryan.
How do you handle a hungry man? They're doing the dance version, the syntho version of the manhandler.
The manhandler. What was Frankie Lane's big hit? He was... He sang a TV show, a Rawhide, I believe, is Frankie.
Yeah, there was a bullwhip involved
again,
with it.
Frankie Lane, a bullwhip, Rawhide.
Yeah, yeah.
He was
the manhandler.
Get a picture of Frankie Lane up there. I think all of his Rawhide.
Good. Yeah, all had a gay theme to it.
He Kissing was another big song of his.
Oh,
now
sure.
It just hits me that might have been.
All right, we ready to do a little Huell Hauser?
The View from Your Back is another big song he had.
I don't know if he's still alive. He's probably in Branson.
Our adventure.
How did
begins.
This lead to Huell Hauser?
It's time to break down the game film.
Quite a leap.
PBS's Huell Hauser.
This technically is called
Huell's Jewels.
Wow.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Huell's a local favorite out here. You have to. I grew up out here in Southern California and watched myself some PBS. And like I said, I just grew up around Huell. It was sort of like, when you're the victim of molestation, or I guess when you're living, five to a bedroom on a dirt floor in Haiti, you just it becomes your reality. You don't really know what's going on until right. you get some distance from it, and you take and you look at it through the eyes of an adult.
Yeah, when you were a kid and you didn't realize that Paul Lynn and Charles Nelson Reilly were gay, they were right. just the funny guys that wore cravats.
Yeah, and there were confirmed bachelors.
Yeah.
And they wore
lifelong bachelor.
They wore kerchiefs with like medallions, and there were always the tannis guys in mm-hmm. the room, and they're always. But it was always like, Paul, what'd you do? Oh, I just got back from Maui, where yeah. I spent there. And it's never like my wife and I or my kids. Or
showed up at the award show, always took their mother to the
right,
Emmys.
Right,
right.
And it was so, we were so naive. Like, it'd just be like, oh, man, that Liberace must pull down all kinds of tail.
I did not realize that the Village People was a gay band until they gang raped me after a concert.
Sure.
Yeah, and about right around the Indian Chief, I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah. I was singing about the Navy and the YMCA yeah, and still just, nothing.
But it was like, they were sort of like the weird cousins of Kiss, you know, like,
right.
you know, it's costumes, you know, it's like Halloween all year. Good for them.
But as you look at the picture and
that's the guy.
Now, here's the whole thing. One of them, and people don't like this word, but it's the whole word. So one was dressed as a leather fag.
Yes,
that's a complete word. I'd like to replace it with homosexual at the end, but it makes the word
but
incomplete.
But that mustache,
he was not dressed as a biker. He was yeah. just dressed as that.
I just right. see a motorcycle enthusiast.
He's a bear.
But is and that mustache real? Because it seems to be more mustache than any person can grow.
It is bigger than the average toilet
that's
seat.
That's no mustache.
That's the size. That really is the size of Elvis's last belt.
And look at the cowboy.
You know, that is not the face that won the West.
No. That is not the guy from the Manhandler commercials. Yeah. No. No, I mean, shirt undone to the navel. I mean, look at that picture.
That's
wow.
fantastic.
And the one guy who may not have been gay, I'm thinking the cop,
yeah.
The cop did all the heavy lifting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just sat in the middle, and he did the singing. And everyone else is just doing a choreograph. But
right.
but it's not like, look, if the Indian all of a sudden got a really bad case of hepatitis, they'd just say to a
yes,
janitor,
hepatitis.
they'd be like, you know, hey, listen, Village People, you guys are going on in 10 minutes. And they'd be like, hey, the Indian's got hepatitis. All right, hey, janitor, drop
yeah,
the mop,
that on.
Put on the Indian outfit, and just keep in line with the guys.
Yeah, yeah. Smallpox.
Like the black yeah. guy that played Ace in half of Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
Right. You wouldn't know it. You right. wouldn't care. But wouldn't this care. Guy, the one dude kind of carried the band, the cop.
Mm-hmm.
You know what was funny about him? He was not only a cop, he was a motorcycle cop, so he had to wear a helmet indoors.
Yeah, and he had to perform and sing in
dressed
a helmet.
Like a cop.
Yeah, that's there's nothing.
What about the terrified private in the back?
He seems scared.
Yeah,
not the janitor.
Now, I'm wondering if the lead singer was gay, because according to this picture, he ain't.
No.
He just looks like, God damn, I'm going to sue my fucking manager.
Yeah, or he doesn't realize what's going on directly behind him.
There's a good chance of that, though.
He wants you as a new recruit. Yeah.
And you know, at some point, this guy thought he was going to be part of the Spinners or the Four Tops
yeah.
or some Motown legendary band mm-hmm. or something. He probably was listening to Smokey Robinson and growing up on Al Green and all that. Now there's this.
The cowboy is also tugging on the construction workers' chains.
Right.
But I don't see a lot of random chains on construction workers.
Oh, we haven't been on job sites like I have.
I'm beginning to think he's not a real construction worker.
What? Just because there's a lightning bolt on the front of his hard hat?
That's
he's
right.
wearing reflective shades? Yeah, it is insane, and it is insane how hard they were working to look gay and how just
yeah.
naive we were. But
yeah.
Yeah, let's see if we can figure out whether the lead singer was gay or not. But all right, shall we? And the private looks scared, too.
One close observation before we get into Huel. Their brother band Kiss, which I linked them together
sure.
from my 12-year-old perspective.
Sure.
What was Peter Criss thinking?
I don't
know.
You know,
Gene Simmons, demon.
Right.
Paul Stanley, like
Star Child.
Glam rock.
Right,
yeah,
right.
Star Child.
Ziggy Stardust.
Ace Frehley, Space Ace. Kitty Cat. I got it.
Nothing screams
kitty
rock
cat.
And roll like a tabby.
Yeah. Chicks are yeah. going to come on stage, throw cream up at me, salmon. I'm going to have it all.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they'll call me Morris. It's going to be awesome.
And if you, I highly recommend Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park. That's, by the way, not, that's the new Ace.
Yeah. Great, by the way, you want to talk about special effects. Fuck Avatar. You watched Kiss Meets the Phantom of the Park.
The best thing is they never bothered, of all the effects that they had, they never bothered to loop Paul Stanley's speaking voice, which is really like, Star Child, Demon, Terry and Julia trapped on the Ferris wheel at the amusement park.
I know.
We better save them.
He was like a gay guy from Flatbush or something.
He was like your aunt. He was like your mom's friend.
Right.
Star Child, Demon, I had half a coffee cake here and now it's gone. What the hell? If you just told me you wanted it, I would have bought two. I had a coupon.
They needed to loop that.
I needed to eat the coffee cake.
I would have done whatever character I adopted. Like, I would have been like, hey, Gene, you know, you're driving this train. How long do you think this thing may go on? And Gene would have been like, 30, maybe 40 years. I'd be like, all right, I'm going with whichever. Here's my theme. Easiest to apply makeup man. Because we're going to be doing this shit for the next 40 years.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be in and out of it. I'm going to spend 2 hours in a fucking chair with grease paint getting applied to my face.
Maybe
before
just
we
a
do
mole.
This. Yeah. All right. Let's see. The biker, the cop, the construction worker, not gay.
What? Wait a minute.
Everyone else gay. Hold on. Biker, no way.
No way.
Cop, I can buy. I think the construction worker, maybe. The biker, I gotta wrap my mind around.
If that is true, that is the definition of gay for pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. He. That is gay for pay.
So on that, never mind. We'll be here all night.
Yes,
but I'm fast. It's hit me now that that's not Peter Criss, nor is that Ace Frehley.
You know way too much about the Village People.
I'm not talking about the Kiss phone.
I'm kidding.
But also, now it's like, maybe Paul Stanley and Gene Simmons should hook up with Pete Townsend and Roger Daltrey and at least have one whole band of something.
Right.
Well, you know it's not Peter Criss because he's not totally pockmarked.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You guys know a lot about Kiss.
Yeah.
It's Snarky Kiss, by the way. Well, hey, Donnie, let's add a podcast, Snarky Kiss Forum Roundup. Sheena Grant and Dana Gould just talk shit about which ace is better and how bad their skin is.
Man, fuck Unmasked.
Hey, caught them at the wheel turn. Not their best. Not their best.
What's the idea of the... So we're going to do our first video without our makeup on. It's going to be Shock the World. What should we do in it? I just think we should squirt a lot of milk at people. I like milk. It's good.
Lick it up.
It's good for bone density, which we all have to start being concerned about.
Boniva.
I like the idea that he sounds like...
Snagglepuss.
Snagglepuss, yeah.
Hey.
Indubitably.
Yeah, indubitably.
All right, you're right.
I'm going to sing Love Gun and hit the limo. All right, let's rule it up.
Lick it up. Lick it up. Yeah. Exit. Lick it right.
Lick it up, or I'll shoot you now. I'll shoot you in the back of the skull.
All right.
Logie.
that was a sidekick.
Droopy.
Oh, yeah, Droopy. Yeah. Oh, yeah, there was Limpy the Lion and Hardy Har,
right, yeah.
By the way, this idea that Hollywood would take hyenas and turn them into the most jovial creatures on the planet.
They're hideous.
When they're the hideous, most dangerous... they're scary for Africa. Like, yeah. Africa goes, what? No, we don't want... No, I mean, we got lions and rhinos and shit, but not they're not this bad. They're the most vicious, scariest creatures on the planet. Who decided that we're our best friends?
Hanna-Barbera also, they just steal comedians' personas.
Don't get me started.
Like, Phil Silvers is like, yeah, I'll just make him Top Cat, but we won't pay Phil Silvers.
Right.
Well, he worked hard on that.
Right.
Who was the Jackie Mason one?
That was the anteater.
Yeah.
That was the one with the big nose.
Yeah.
And
his friend was Dean Martin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they would just go...
just take people.
Why invent the character? Like, I got an idea for the Flintstones. You want to develop the voice? No. We'll have Ralph Cramden from The Honeymooners. Yeah. We'll just do the exact same thing.
Who brings these calls?
Such fucking derivative ripoff artists. That's why I'm the only guy who screams about what hacks they were, because they ripped off their own ideas. They ripped off everyone else's ideas. They would just take... And did Phil Silvers do Phil Silvers?
No, it was Dawes Butler.
That's the whole point. And
the fact that I instantly know the voice of Top Cat is why my life is an avalanche of pussy.
Yeah. Yeah, Top Cat. And again, if you watch the Flintstones, you just realize that he's just Jackie Gleason in The Honeymooners. Yeah. Like, the exact same voice. And then every once in a while, they would really rip it off and just do, like, Bogart or whatever, yeah. Lauren Bacall or
Stony
whatever.
Kurt Rock.
Right.
And there you have it, Corolla Classics for June 22nd, 2019. Now, you heard we have an episode tomorrow, so please go to Corolla Classics. It's a separate podcast if you're finding this on the Adam Corolla Show feed. Subscribe, rate, and review us, and get ready for an episode tomorrow. Now, we teased that we're going to come back with Huel's Jewels with Dana Gould. We also are going to have a follow-up to Dawson's Green Machine Juice with Vinny Tortorich breaking it down. What else do we got for tomorrow?
Adam Corolla Show 1332. This is a huge chunk of the show with Def Frat Guy doing All Balls JV, JV All Balls. It's a hilarious section, and it includes a recap of a trip that Adam took with Matt Fondelier when they were heading to D.C. to speak about litigation and stuff and possible bills regarding patent trolls. And Matt gives his experience on the road with Adam, which culminates in them watching Godzilla in the Mall of America.
That was a really warm moment for Matt. I remember when he did that, and yeah, he came back to tell me about all about
He's
it.
He's not always on the road, so yeah. It's very interesting to hear his take, because we have different takes, because we've both done it way more times. And then we have a listener request for the entire French Stewart interview from 2017, chopped out the live reads. It is 45 minutes of magic.
French Stewart, always just incredible conversation. So love when he comes in. And if you want to write in, email us, classics@adamcarolla.com. Let us know what clip you want to hear. Tweet us at Giovanni Giorgio or at Chris Loxamana. And Gio, if people want to hear the entire episode from these clips, where do they go?
Podcast One Premium, the home of all your favorite podcasts. They have the entire archive of the Adam Carolla Show from the very first episode to the one that aired today. You can hear the entire shows that we've been playing. So if you want to hear more of this, the entire episode's there. And again, a lot of these are so funny, we basically have to play the full thing. So you might as well do yourself a favor, Podcast One Premium.
And do yourself another favor, check out the Water Cooler Podcast. It's me and the Corolla Digital guys, Gary, Matt, Kalen, Dawson, and find out what all that barking is about. You can subscribe by searching resume, but we'll be changing it to the Water Cooler any day now. So just find it. And can't wait to see you there. But we will see you tomorrow for sure for Sunday's episode. Till then, my name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Mahalo, and get it on.